That's right. Every week I am joined by our regular US correspondent, Professor Ed Blakely from the University of Sydney, speaking about what we see happening in our big brother nation, the United States of America. He's joining me via studio link from the UTS studios. Ed, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thanks. Well, thanks for joining us here on The Daily this morning. Now, this week, the big news story, Antonin Scalia, a divisive figure in the US Supreme Court. He's passed away. It could be a big opportunity for President Obama to shape the future of the court, but Republicans aren't having it. What's going on?
Well, let's give you a little background here. The president nominates someone for the Supreme Court. It takes two-thirds, that's 66 senators, to approve. The Republicans will have the head of the committee, the Judiciary Committee, to hear the nominees. They can drag those hearings on until cows come home. The longest it's taken is over 100 days. And people have been turned out. Bork and other people were turned out. So it's possible not to get the nomination. The president really has no choice. He has to nominate someone. He would look very weak if he did not. And the Republicans don't want him to nominate anyone. So this is a showdown, and the president will nominate. I think the president will do a jujitsu. He will nominate someone on the right. Not too far to the right, but far enough to the right where they have good right credentials, and then you're in a quandary. Now, if Hillary gets elected, she'll nominate someone from the left. So maybe we ought to take the deal we got rather than waiting for something that might be worse. So I think that's what he's going to do. But he might surprise us. He has several very good justices who've gone through this process, at least to get a majority to be put on the bench. And one of them is an Indian American, the subcontinent, India, who is thought very highly of by people on the left and the right. So, and that would bring out a kind of a different coalition of people of color who'd want this candidate. So it could be a Donnybrook, and it'll certainly be an issue in the election.
One of the excuses, speaking of the election, Republicans have been using this as a bit of an excuse, denying Obama the right to appoint someone during an election year. Is there any precedence behind this?
None. There have been a number of justices appointed in election years. Ronald Reagan did it. Bush did it. Clarence Thomas was appointed in election year. So there's no precedent for that. And there's no precedent for even dragging it out. So I'm not certain what they think they can gain from this. Already, it's not polling well. People think they need a justice on the court. The people on the left want a justice on the court because big issues like abortion are coming to the court. People right on the right want somebody on the court because if it's a tie, then the tie usually goes, I forget what the law is, but I believe that it's a victory. So if you don't get a justice in there on the right and there's a 4-4 vote, then the women's rights groups or the left groups will win every time because they've got four justices in the bag.
Well, I find it quite intriguing, actually, to look at some of the polls and how the American voters are feeling like this. Obviously, any left-leaning voters are going to want Obama to appoint somebody. But even with the Republicans, I mean, when Congress shut down, a lot of them were saying, hey, it's all Obama's fault. Thanks a lot, Obama. But people don't like to see politicians shirking their duties no matter what the circumstance. And it's kind of feeling like they haven't got a leg to stand on here.
Yeah, when the government shuts down, the president says, I'm the one who approves the bill. I do not initiate them. So when they try these tricks, it makes the Congress look worse and worse and worse. The Congress, I believe, is polling just below rat crap in the polls. A used car salesman has a lot more legitimacy. And even a GSC lawyer. So you know how bad it is when those people are polling ahead of you.
Now, as perhaps a final word, very entertaining circumstances this morning, Mr. Trump, who we talk about a great deal on this segment, Mr. Trump accused by the Pope of not being a very good Christian, and he's lashed back. I love the circumstances at it. Trump hits back at the Pope. You don't often see people hitting back at the Pope. What do we see going on here?
Well, the Pope was asked about a wall, and he didn't think that was a very Christian thing. We should open up to everyone. And, of course, Trump felt that meant him. The Pope didn't mention Trump, but Trump got the message. And then Trump turns around and says, well, the Vatican has a wall around it. Who's he to talk? Does anybody get stopped at the wall of the Vatican? As a matter of fact, they're welcomed in. And the Pope said anything, he said, well, the wall's there, that's true, many centuries ago, but it doesn't stop anyone. Do you want to build a wall to open them up, or do you want to build a wall to close it down? I don't think this will go much farther. I don't think the Pope will say any more about it. And that'll allow the press to say an awful lot about it. This is a lose-lose for Trump, because Trump classifies himself as a Christian, but a lot of right-wing Christian people don't believe it. They don't believe he even goes to church. So his Christianity is in doubt. And the Catholic Church is very powerful in the United States, very, very powerful. They've been on the back foot for a while, but this Pope is getting them back where they were in the Kennedy days. And, of course, there's a large Latino vote. So Mr. Trump better be careful of shooting his mouth off, because the next bullet might go around the corner and hit him in the head. You don't mess with the Pope.
Well, Ed, thank you very much. Entertaining as always, informative as always. Interesting to see how this, how Obama does play this Supreme Court justice situation going forward. We may be talking about it again next week. Do appreciate your time on this morning.
Next week we're going to talk about Cuba.
Oh, Cuba!
The president's going to Cuba.
Oh man,
I was there last year, paving the way, of course.
Yeah. long time coming,
but I knew it was coming. I was in New Orleans when we were actually trying to get air flights to Cuba through President Obama, and he said, give me some time, everybody will be able to go.
Fantastic. Well, Ed, if you visit again, bring me back some of those cigars. Do appreciate your time though, mate. We'll be talking about it next week.
Take care. See you next week.